press record.
I just did.
The lights are blinking at me.
It's going. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes, and you can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What's up, you Dynasty Football maniacs?
And Shane Manila.
Yes, I would prefer to be referred to as DFF underscore Shane. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, you just said something just happened just before we started recording. Something always happens just before we start recording. And it's not the Randall Cobb signing with the Cowboys.
That's huge. I mean, if this was 2015 or 2016 even, you could talk yourself into some Randall Cobb, maybe even 2017. But not after 2018. That dude, he's just washed. It's interesting, though. Dak Prescott has like a 96-something QBR to slot receivers. So he does like to throw to slot receivers. It's just, you know, Cobb's always injured. So he probably is going to get injured actually physically signing the contract. He's going to sprain an ankle somehow.
Well, I mean, we do have a couple.
We got bigger news than that.
That's what I was going to say. We have bigger news. We have a couple guests tonight too, which we're going to get to, but let's do our big news. What is it?
We are on the clock in the DFB Invitational. Now, this is the league that we're in with a bunch of guys that I don't even think most of them know us.
I wouldn't even describe them as a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I think they've actually asked me to leave the chat thread several times, which is awkward because they keep going, "You're in this league?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "How did that happen?" And I'm like, "I don't know."
Or the other way is our little side chat you've left a couple times too.
Just once.
Oh, is it only once? Okay. So we're on the clock.
Here's our options, man. And we're in the 13th round. So this is where it starts to get pretty fucking ugly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We could use some running backs. So they've got there's Austin Eckler on the board. There's Matt Breida, but unfortunately he's in a three-man committee with two other guys that kind of do the same shit that he does, except he's more of a battering ram. You got LeSean McCoy, who I love, but is in his early 60s. You got Gus Edwards, who's been displaced by Mark Ingram. There's Nyheim Hines, who I would have felt good about, except that the Colts were like, nah, we don't need him in the playoffs. Ronald Jones is on the board, and I'm not especially fond of him, but he does have that high draft capital.
Out of the guys you said so far, that would be the only one that I would consider taking a shot on, but
there is the only one I like out of what's on the board at running back is Austin Eckler. I mean, nothing. We have a lot of maybes out there, and that's the one I like the best of the group, but it's not pretty.
We also started off strong with two great wide receivers, and then we've never drafted another one since.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This isn't the range to really shoot for a wide receiver. All these wide receivers are going to be there probably in the next couple of rounds. I say that we should go with the guy with the best draft capital in Ronald Jones.
And we pick now, and then we have four picks in between we go again. So 13-10 and 14-3 in a 12-teamer. So we're back up on the board pretty quick, and then around to us again. So
yeah, I think at this point... What the hell was that?
Jeremy actually just murdered someone live on air.
Oh, my God. That was the scariest noise I ever heard.
That's the cats. The cats, man. My wife has a cat, and then we got one for the kids, and the older female cat is a total bee. She hates the other cat. And she just, that's the scary sound she makes when he bothers her.
Back to this. Jay Yeldon's still on the board, although he hasn't actually signed anywhere.
Yeah. He's probably... Actually, I mean, situationally, we can talk, but he's my favorite running back that's out there, like as far as, you know, making good on another team and, you know, could be a starter for a while, that kind of thing. And Eckler, those two guys are the names that, and I know what you're saying about Jones. So that's why I said, if you guys can come to agreement, I'm not ready at this point in my draft to take Ronald Jones. If you guys both want to go there,
It's the 13th round, and there's really – I mean, this is that spot where it's like, ugh, this guy. I mean, we could take Jay Ajayi. he's still sitting out there in free agency.
Yeah. I'd rather take Ronald Jones right now, especially since the fact what they signed Peyton Barber for a 1-year deal to keep him around. Right. They don't really have anything else. And there was reports that they liked him there. So maybe, I mean, right now we're just taking a shot on any of these guys.
We're going to go with Ronald Jones, guys. And it's not that any of us feel good about it.
No, none of us do.
What are the tight ends that are still out there? Nobody, right? Nothing that we like. Because I know we need one eventually. We don't even have one starter. Before we make our pick.
All right, how about this? Mike Gesicki's out there. Second rounder last year. He's got Fitzmagic, who doesn't like tight ends, apparently. I heard that somewhere. Greg Olson, Delanie Walker, a couple old guys. But Mike Gesicki is a workout freak. He's from Penn State, and you know how the Penn State boys do. They are very physically fit.
Well, what do you think? Wait, we pick. You said we pick, and then we have four picks later. So yes, if the way these guys are all grabbing tight ends, because we don't have one yet, maybe we take the tight end, and then in four picks later, Ronald Jones will probably still be there, and then we can get him there.
I got to be honest with you. After Mike Gesicki, the drop-off between him and the next tight ends on the board is much further than the drop from Ronald Jones to – there's like five other guys I could draft and feel fine as compared to drafting Ronald Jones. So I say we pull the trigger on Mike Gesicki.
I agree.
Yeah, Gesicki's a guy I think I would go with here since we do pick in a few and we don't have a tight end. And I'm actually inspired by what Miami might be trying to do down there.
Yeah. All right. And I have Gesicki on Mike Gesicki. I have him on so many leagues of mine, so that works out good for me too. So let's do it.
He's a great guy if someone forgets that it takes tight ends several years to break out.
Right.
Because, you know, that there were George Kittle had an early breakout and Evan Engram had his rookie year breakout. But Mike Gesicki's a nice buy.
All right, cool. So let's do it.
The only problem is if I own Gesicki, like, why would I trade him?
Yeah. Well,
I've actually done that in a league. That wasn't too bright.
All right, so we went with the pick, and that was our making our pick live on the air, and you guys got to hear our thought process. And that, and so if somebody wants to hear just that part, can't they hear that on Clipcast, or how does that work, Shane?
They can. There's a Clipcast. They also have a Twitter handle, which I believe is Clipcast, but their website is clipcast.app. And what you can do is it'll give you some highlights if you want to search for Baker Mayfield and why he's the QB1. Or if you want to hear why Baker Mayfield isn't the QB1 and you type in Baker Mayfield, he'll pop up on a bunch of different podcasts that people discuss them on. So like our buddy Stompy, Sam Lane, every podcast he was on this week, he was basically losing his mind about Baker Mayfield. So just type in Baker Mayfield in there. Stompy will pop up a bunch of times. Yeah, Stompy was losing it. He was not a fan of it. But yeah, check out Clipcast.
It is funny. Yeah, I was out of town this weekend in North Carolina, but our show that we dropped last week, we did talk a lot about Baker, and there was a lot of feedback on Twitter from people asking, especially you, Shane, where you had said Baker was your number one quarterback. There was a lot of talk.
Oh, man. So I went on Twitter, Twitter's a kitten. I went on Reddit and I was like, hey guys, you know, check out our show and let me explain you why Baker Mayfield's the QB1 in Dynasty. And you would have thought that I said the Mother Mary is an ugly whore because people lost their shit. Oh my God, they're just losing it. And I was just batting them down like, Freddie Kitchens, Todd Monken, Baker was a better college prospect. Just knocking them all down. And they're all like, well, Mahomes is throwing for 50 touchdowns. And I said, yeah, but he didn't the year before, right? Oh, well, he was on the bench. And I said, well, okay. But, you know, just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean that it won't happen. Baker's the QB1, so get over it, people.
Yeah, you even had a lot of discussion in our Patreon group chat, too. A lot of those people were all up on you with that.
Tyreek Hill.
What? Holy shit, what about?
Guys. Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
So it came out on, I think it was Friday, right?
Yes.
It came out Friday that either Tyreek Hill is involved with breaking his child's arm or is not involved with it. Very definitive. Everybody was playing Perry Mason on Twitter. We were reading through police reports trying to figure out what the fuck any of it meant. But you know me. So as soon as that came across my Twitter timeline that I saw Tyreek Hill comma, child broken arm, comma, investigation. I said, time to get this guy to off my roster.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't have him in any of my leagues, but I would have done the exact same thing. So I'm assuming you have a trade alert then.
Trade alert? So, and this is in, I believe this was the Trade Addicts 6 league I'm in with several giants of the industry, like Sam Stompy Lane and Russell Outhouse. I don't know his last name. I just immediately go in there and I go, hey, someone sent me an offer for Hill. And I believe it was Jesse Reeves. I could be wrong. But she's like, I'll give you a first. I was like, all right, throw in a second. Like, I didn't even ask what first. Like, literally, it was like a first rounder. It could have been the 112 I was taking it. So I got the 111 and a 2020 second. And then just kept refreshing my Twitter feed the rest of the evening.
Yeah. I mean, did anything ever definitive come out about that? I mean, we're already on Tuesday right now. Anything? No. Because, like I said, I've been out of town, so.
No, nothing. I believe the DA's office put out a statement yesterday, but the statement was basically not definitive either. It was like, yeah, there's an investigation. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Look, Tyreek Hill's got a history of being an evil, terrible human being, so it's believable that he could have broken his child's arm. If he didn't, you know, whatever, then I sold low and such is life. So, here's the thing, right? So you can use RotoSurance to protect from injury. I don't think there's a caveat in there for suspension for being a raging asshole. So you don't want to use RotoSurance for that.
Okay. But
say you end a startup draft with, I don't know, Leonard Fournette and a Dalvin Cook. And, you know, you feel pretty good about your running backs, but they are injury prone or have a history of injuries. What you're going to want to do is go on rotosurance.com and you can save 20% off your player insurance using the Dynasty Trades HQ, all caps, just like you're yelling it, into the code field or referred by field or something to that effect field. So do that after your startups because it's startup season, baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of startups going on. And tonight we have some great guests. I think it's the first time we've had two guests on, right, Jeremy? We're going to have somebody come sit with us the rest of the show, and then we also have a guest later on during the show.
Yeah, I think it's the first time we've had two special guests on the same show.
And who's our guest? Remember.
Kyle Francis from DFF College at Devi Watch, Dynasty Command, has a real good handle on college players. So we'll talk some 2019 rookie picks with him. And then, if that wasn't big enough, Emery Hunt, owner of Football Game Plan. You guys might know him, Zara the Playbook, former college football running back and all-around good guy. I'm surprised he had time to do our show, guys. He's so busy. Really glad to have him and glad he had some time tonight so we can talk to him about rookies too. So it's going to be jam-packed talking about these prospects and what players these guys really like leading up to the draft and maybe some players we should have our sights set on that perhaps we don't yet. I'm hoping to get some of that information from Emery for sure.
Cool. So let's hear from gtbets.eu and we'll bring Kyle on.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
So, yeah, gambling, as I've often said, is actually very good for you. So go hit up GTBets and go gamble some money. Make sure you use our bonus code so you get free money to gamble and win. Kyle, free. If I was a betting man. Kyle Francis is on the show now, everyone, the franchise, in case you didn't know that.
I was just going to say we didn't introduce him, but go
ahead. We didn't introduce him at all, so maybe you should introduce him because you're better at that. But he is one of the writers of the Devi Watch, right? Hello?
Yes. Is that for me? Yeah, I am. I sure am.
Anyone can answer. Anyone. Which is awesome, and you should go on the Dynasty Football Factory website and buy it. Real quick, Kyle, you want to tell them why they should buy it, other than it's awesome?
And also tell everybody who you are too.
And that, yeah.
And your Twitter handle. Feel free to just speak.
I was going to do all that stuff, but it just kind of went all over the place. So Kyle, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, so I'm Kyle, and I work on the Debbie Watch team at Dynasty Football Factory. And so a lot of what we're doing, if you're not familiar with the Debbie Watch, you listen to the pod, we're pretty much going through all college players, starting with incoming freshmen just out of high school, coming into rising seniors, and we're going through and we're breaking them down, strengths, weaknesses, athleticism, production, all of the stuff that we're talking about right now in terms of rookies. And so I don't remember our exact number of how many guys we ended up profiling this year, but we did a page on almost 300 guys. So we go pretty in depth in a lot of different classes. So I think it can be helpful, even if you don't play in Devy drafts, if you just want to have a leg up in the rookie drafts and not kind of be thrown around with the waves of opinions that are going on right now with athletic testing and combine and everything else. It can help give you a head start in your league. So it's a great group, and we're really proud of the product we put together this year.
So Kyle, I just wanted to get into this because you were asked the question on Twitter, who your running back one and two of this class is, are, right? Plural. Yeah. Who they are. Yeah. There you go. And you want to let everyone know who your running back one and two are?
Yeah, so it'd be Josh Jacobs, who is being talked about a lot right now for an unimpressive pro day, and David Montgomery from Iowa State are my top two guys.
So he ran a 4.66 today? Is that what Jacobs ran?
Something like that. I mean, with pro days, it's kind of hard. So it ranged anywhere from 4.60 to 4.66, and I usually tack on time on top of that as well. It probably translates closer to a 4.70 if he were to run at the combine, if I were adding on kind of the normal that I do. And so if I could comment on that, he didn't run at the combine, and the reason why is because he had a groin injury and a hamstring, and that's something that's kind of plagued him a little bit throughout his career. And so he elected wisely not to test at the combine, but wanted to test today. And so I've never seen his medical records. He's never told me this, but I would have to believe, based upon some of the testing we've seen from him in the past, running a verified 4.50 in 2017 at Alabama, and then running essentially a 4.70 today, and us knowing he had a previous, you know, soft tissue leg injury, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that he probably wasn't 100% today. It would be highly unlikely that a player in the best strength conditioning program in America would lose 0.2 seconds on their 40 time while training. So that's my thought on it. I'm not scared at all by it, but it probably does ensure that he's not a first round pick in the NFL draft.
Could you let our listeners know, that some of them that don't follow the combine and all that stuff, why would you add time for their pro day? What's the difference between the pro day and the combine?
It's just a lot more exact at the combine. So a lot of the times that we're getting at pro days are going to be hand timed. So there's going to be a lot of variance. And that's what I mentioned. People are going to be hand timing. So you're going to get anywhere from 4.60 to 4.66. And then typically, I think if anyone uses playerprofiler.com and uses their athletic measurables, I believe they tend to add on 0.05 on a pro day 40 versus an NFL combine. That's usually a pretty safe adjustment. There's some schools that are notorious for it, like the University of Miami might as well add on 0.20 every time everybody running a 4.2 down there.
Exactly.
But programs like Ohio State, Washington, Alabama, they generally have pretty close testing numbers. And so that was another thing that I went back and checked today as well, is I went back and I looked at seven other Alabama players that had run at that tested in 2017 at Alabama and then tested at the combine. And so 50% of them actually ran faster at the combine than at their spring training back in 2017. And then the only guys who were slower, it was like 0.01, 0.03, and 0.06. So the fact that now Jacobs would be 0.20 slower,
right?
It doesn't really fit to me. And so, again, it's interesting with a player like Jacobs, because until 1 o'clock p.m. today, there had never been one mention of him not having the requisite athleticism to play in the NFL and to play at a high level. So if you don't see it on tape and then there's enough to explain it, I understand if he still scares you and you have certain thresholds in place. Hey, respect to whatever process you have. For me, I don't care.
Yeah,
that does seem weird that it, because that was one of his calling cards, right? His athleticism in college, or at least that's one of the things.
I think so, and he's a player, and you know, for full disclosure, I went to school at Alabama. He's a guy that I've followed really closely for a long time. So I've had a chance to watch, you know, every snap he's ever played in a game. I've had a chance to go to several different practices, and like I said, he at worst is an average NFL athlete. I would say probably a more good description would be an above average athlete. Certainly not what we saw today.
Well, you know, there's one thing I want to ask you. We've talked to a lot of people over the last couple of months about not being too thrilled with this draft class. And you worked on the Devy Watch. You worked on it last year. You followed all these kids for a long time. Do you agree with the people that all like jumped out of here and went after the 2020 picks instead of this year? Or did you stick around and you're taking some of these guys in some of your rookie drafts?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of a both and.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I think that this is a really good class, and I think that the 2020 class is a really good class. And I can just give a quick summation of that. Quarterbacks in this class are pretty underwhelming. Running backs are pretty underwhelming, but excellent wide receivers and tight end, both at the top and from a depth standpoint. So I think that there's a lot to be excited in the first round. This is a year where I think I would be really excited about having some mid-round rookie picks, like in that third, fourth round range. I think there's a lot of really talented guys that are going to be available that are going to serve a really specific role. And so if you're drafting before the NFL draft, then you just want to do a good job of trying to find out, okay, capture which guys that may be. Or if you're drafting after the draft, then being able to see some landing spots, who got decent draft capital, you know, all the advantages to going later. But I also really do think that the 2020 class has really good quarterbacks, excellent running backs, excellent wide receivers, and really poor tight ends. And there's a chance that some of the tight ends, I mean, it's hard to say with tight end that they kind of come on late. But I would say overall, if you're risk averse in rookie drafts, and I think what risk averse means right now in 2019 is you're scared of wide receivers because so many of us have been burnt by first round wide receiver picks here recently, that this probably isn't the draft for you. If you're wanting the safest running backs, you know, chances are this is going to be a lot closer to, I think 2014 was the year where all the good wide receivers were there and there wasn't a running back taken until the second round. I think that was the same draft. I may be misspeaking there, but I do believe that this is going to be similar to whatever year that was, specifically with the running backs, where we're not going to see anyone go round one. But ultimately, I just did a little bit more of a deep dive on that. If you're taking day two and you're big enough and you're a threat in the passing game, you can be a really valuable dynasty running back in the NFL. So just be paying attention to the bigger guys that can catch and who get drafted by the end of day two.
Who are your wide receivers in this one, Kyle? I wanted to ask you, like, who are your favorite wide receivers? And it's a deep group, but which one stand out to you? Do you like, if you had to draft in this rookie class, a wide receiver, what would you be looking at? Which few guys?
Yeah, I think in some ways I feel like I'm a bit contrarian with this wide receiver class, but in a lot of ways I feel like I'm with the norm. I think that there's just a lot of differing opinions right now. I would say my top three favorite group of wide receivers would be N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, A.J. Brown from Ole Miss, and Kelvin Harmon from NC State. And so where I may be a bit contrarian there is I don't have Hakeem Butler and DK Metcalf in that group amongst my top three. I have them just outside of it, but there's enough about both of those guys that just scare me a little bit in terms of their profiles and what I've watched of them over the years, that they're not in that top group for me. I think those other three guys are ready to make a difference right away in the NFL, assuming that they land well and are deployed what I perceive to be appropriately.
I wanted to ask you, based on what you were talking about with this year's draft and next year's draft, we are a trades podcast, and we are in a league with some people in the DFB Invitational League. And we did a trade today with Graham Barfield. And the trade, we were on the clock in the 13th round, and he offered us his 2020 second round pick.
Name drop.
Yes. He offered us his 2020 second round pick for our pick right there. And we did the trade with him, and he took the 207. So he had just, all he did was throw us his second so he could grab the 207. At that point right there, in a trade and with what you know, would you rather have the 207 in this year's draft or a 2020 second next year?
So I guess I'm assuming that the 2020, where it is still unknown, because that won't be decided until the end of this season. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah. So it's a future second round pick in the 2020 draft or the 207 right now.
Let's just say 208. Let's just say we traded the 207 in this one for next year's 208.
All right,
let me say 207.
Yeah, whatever. It's a second this year and a second next year. Which would you like better?
In the middle somewhere.
I think probably I'd lean towards the 2020 slightly. I think it would probably be pretty close, but I think that there's a lot of players, specifically when I'm looking at next year's class, and obviously there's a lot that can change between now and then, but that really all throughout. I like the second round in this class and next class. I think that, you know, the hit rates in both of these classes, just due to the depth, are going to be a little bit better than what we perceive to be historically average.
Right.
So I think it could go either way. I feel like someone I was in talking to today was looking for a guy like maybe Debo Samuel in the 15th round of a startup. He was one of the guys he was considering, and I consider Debo to be earlier than 207. I think he's going to be more in that 201, potentially even slightly even higher, but we'll say 110 to 205 range. So if I'm thinking about that right now, I'm in a dangerous area of math for my skills, but yeah, I think I prefer your guys' side slightly, but I think it's pretty fair.
Cool. I think if Kyle wasn't on our show, he'd tell us that we lost that trade. But I think he's on our show, so he's like, no, yeah, good job.
Hey, I've chopped it up enough with you guys that I'm not scared to tell you. If I thought you guys lost it, I'd tell you.
I was going to say, I don't think he would hide it. And the funniest part, I mean, we didn't have any idea what he was going to take with that pick. He just sent us the offer, and that's what he ended up taking. So so we talked about the running backs and the wide receivers. What about tight ends? I mean, for a long time, people have been saying – we could barely hear you for some reason, Shane. You're really quiet.
Don't we have to get Emery on?
Well, yeah, but that's why I want that. Yeah, okay. I just wanted
Sipes
to finish
it, man. Sipes has done this before.
Okay. I just wanted to finish with tight ends and quarterbacks. That's all.
Yeah,
all right. So yep. We already talked about the running backs and the wide receivers in this class. What about tight ends? Who are, because a lot of people in the last couple of months were all saying how this is a great tight end class for this rookie class.
Yeah, I think that most of the two guys that we're going to be seeing a lot in the first round of NFL mock drafts actually both went to Iowa, TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant, and I think really highly of both of them. So I think that they're definitely amongst the top. But I would say that for me, it really almost spans as a big four, and the other two guys that I really like are Irv Smith out of Alabama and Jace Sternberger out of Texas A&M. I would probably more closely group Irv Smith with them because I think he's a guy that potentially, depending on what happens early, he just seems like a New England Patriot to me, both with the connections that Saban and Belichick have and how they've really liked drafting Alabama players. He can block really well. He's going to be available at the end of the first. I don't think he's going to have to go that early. And then the Patriots, I believe, have two others within the top 64. So I'm not assuming that Fant or Hockenson are going to end up in New England, but I just haven't been able to shake the idea that either Sternberger or Smith could end up as a Patriot. And I think all of us would agree that's a pretty attractive landing spot right now for a tight end that has a good skill set. So for me, I really like those four guys. I think another guy that did well at the combine who was really productive is Caleb Wilson from UCLA. He was a surprise for me at the combine. He ran like a 4.51. I honestly would have guessed he was closer to a 4.91 based on what I saw on film. I thought the biggest thing he had was he didn't have NFL athleticism, but he showed at the combine that he does, and he has a really nice profile in terms of what he's been able to produce. So he's an interesting player as well. I'll be curious to see where he gets drafted, because if he landed well, he could kind of creep into that top five as well. And again, there's nice depth that we're going to see a few other guys. You know, Josh Oliver is a small school guy from San Jose State, yeah, who I think could be valuable at the top end of day three. Anyway, there's quite a few tight ends available this class. I think it's one of the best classes in the past couple years, and probably the best looking for 2 to 3 years out.
Well, before we bring in our guest, Emery Hunt, we wanted to just say the last position obviously is quarterback. People have been talking about it for a while, and there seems to be, you know, the Kyler Murray everybody's talked about. Do you like any other quarterbacks in this draft class at all? Or do you like him? Or what do you think with the quarterbacks? And then we'll bring in Emery.
Murray and Haskins are the guys that I would really, if I was looking for a quarterback this draft, I would really be looking for both of those guys. I think in particular, Murray is a bit more interesting because, as we know, quarterbacks who can run just have such an advantage in fantasy. And so I think if you look at, you know, his production profile dating back to him playing high school football, you know, he's a guy that's been extremely productive. He hasn't been injured. I think that's one thing that people were concerned about with him being smaller and a runner. Mm-hmm. But based on my research, he's had a potential 60 starts and he's completed 59 of them, and he's been running since day one. So for me, that's pretty good probability. I know he's not getting hit by NFL players, but you know, what can you do about that? All we can do is base them on, you know, what we've seen in the past. So I like both of those guys a lot. Drew Locke is going to get drafted in the top 15. He'll have value as a result of that. I don't really love him. And then beyond that, I would say, you know, there's some more developmental guys. The one guy who could sneak into the first round would be Daniel Jones from Duke. Yeah. And I've been a fan of his for a long time, but I also don't think that he should be a round one pick. But round one quarterbacks, what's that?
No, I was just laughing. Like when you said that, it made me laugh because, yeah, you don't think he should be a round one NFL draft pick, but, you know, they creep right in there all the time. He probably
quarterbacks are unusual. And then I would say if you're going beyond that, which I really don't, I've been burnt too many times trying to figure out who the next developmental quarterback is. I don't care. I'd rather Phillip Rivers for 2 years and, you know, trade the rest. I would probably stop it there, but the guys I'd be really excited about would be Kyler and Haskins both.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. We're going to hear from the Scouting Academy and then bring Emery Hunt in.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So if someday you want to be able to scout like Kyle and our next guest, who we're stoked to have, that I won't introduce yet, go ahead and hit up that link to the Scouting Academy on the Dynasty Football Factory website and go ahead and save yourself $50 on the next semester.
Awesome. And yes, like Shane said, we do have our next guest here. We have Emery Hunt, the owner of the footballgameplan.com. And you can find Emery on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. Welcome to the show, Emery.
Glad to be on, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Why don't you give everybody a little information about your website and about who you are?
Well, it's the one-stop shop for the football fan. We cover everything from the NFL all the way down to women's tackle football and high school football scouting and stuff like that. So we do it all, you know, and it's be funny. I got my start in broadcasting doing women's tackle football games. And so I am a color analyst for college football. And I do also cover Giants, Jets, and the entire NFL, but I'm always at Giants and Jets camp and games and things like that. And we do a lot of NFL draft stuff where we go from the major colleges all the way down to the lesser known schools, the smaller schools, and find prospects. So it's an exciting time. And it's never ending. It's a year-round process over here at Football Game Plan, and I'm excited.
The czar of the playbook. I love that, czar of the playbook. And with that in mind, I wanted to ask you, with this draft class, these rookies, who are some running backs and wide receivers after that you think are maybe flying a little bit under the radar, guys that maybe should be a little more popular in the minds of, especially for fantasy football, because, you know, that's how we look at things ultimately after the draft. But some guys that you think aren't getting enough love out there that probably should be at running back and wide receiver.
I think Dexter Williams out of Notre Dame is a guy that no one is giving his just due. You can talk about a player that has what I like in a back is that ability to hit the home run. And he has that. You know, there's no questions about his speed or his explosiveness or elusiveness. He's a guy mm-hmm. that can really open up your offense and score from anywhere on the field. Now, this was his first year as a full-time starter. So you have that question, but you also have that question about Josh Jacobs, who wasn't a starter. But mm-hmm. I think a guy like Dexter Williams should be one of the backs that people could look for, you know, maybe a mid-round pick, but one that could end up being a rookie starter and having success, especially if he lands in the right offense. I would selfishly love to see him paired up with Lamar Jackson, but they just signed Mark Ingram. But I think a guy like Dexter Williams and, I mean, my running back one, Darrell Henderson, isn't getting talked about enough as well. That's the back that I think should go in the first round. If there was any back to go in the first round, it should be Henderson, because he is legitimately the epitome of what you would call a home run hitter.
Yeah.
What about for wide receiver?
For wide receiver, I'm excited about Anthony Ratliff Williams, man. I think he is one that he came onto my radar, I want to say, 2 years ago. I was on my way out to where was I going? I was going to a broadcast. I was going to Georgetown. I was going to do a Georgetown game, but that Friday I stopped over, a Thursday night I stopped over in Pitt. And Pitt was playing North Carolina, and, you know, I got a chance to see, I want to say it was Quadri Henderson, who was the receiver running back for Pitt. But Pitt ended up getting blasted by this terrible North Carolina team, and Anthony Ratliff Williams went off for like 200 yards, and it seemed like every time he touched the ball, it wasn't like deep balls, you know, where he was just catching, where he was just running past guys and catching it over his head. Yeah. These were plays where he was catching little short in routes and stiff arming cats in the face and weaving through traffic like a New York cab and found it. I thought, you know, I was like, wow, this guy's a sophomore, so someone to watch later on. Maybe I think he was a freshman. I was like, wow, that's an impressive debut for a freshman, because at the time, Jordan Whitehead was the premier defensive back for Pitt.
Yeah.
So I think no one's talking about Anthony Ratliff Williams. To me, he reminds me a lot of a guy like Roddy White and what he brings to the table. I think that's probably one of the bigger, I don't want to call him sleepers because he plays at North Carolina, but one of the bigger guys that no one is talking about at the receiver position. I think have a huge impact as a rookie.
Brutal stiff arm from Anthony Ratliff Williams. I did a little thing for Fantasy Pros talking about like three wide receivers that I just thought would be better than their draft, you know, the draft slot now, their rankings now. And I know Kyle, too. I cited an article that he did when I think it was a year or two back, you know, as a Devy article talking up Anthony Ratliff Williams. So people do know who he is, but you don't see him ranked very highly at all. I mean, I've seen lists of top 25 wide receivers. He's not even on it. It's like he's just not there, which I think is brutal. I mean, I just don't agree with that. I think he's much better than 26th ranked wide receiver in this class. It's crazy.
No, I was just going to ask Emery, where, if he is going to be drafted, what round do you think he could go in?
That's the $100 million question. For me, he's my number one split end. I break up the receivers into four different positions, split end, flankers, slots, and inside receivers. I've been doing this since 2015. Because it's tough to say, you know, DJ Metcalf is ranked higher than Marquise Brown, where they're going to be playing different positions, you know, so you break it up into what the positions are. And so he's my number one X. And I just think that, you know, when he gets to the work, the individual workouts, the pro day, he wasn't invited to the combine. I think he's going to test well, which is important for them, but not to me. And once he popped the film, and I think he's going to probably go in rounds three or four and end up making an impact.
Well, Emery, one thing that I saw you write on Twitter earlier, you were saying that it would be interesting to see if any of the rookie QBs in this year's class can live up to the Lamar Jackson success. Is there anybody out there that you do like?
Dwayne Haskins. To me, he's the clear-cut number one. It's not even close. He would have been my number one quarterback last year, and I was high on Lamar Jackson, who was my QB1. But Haskins just has the it factor. I mean, I always say this, and it's like when you watch him play and throw, he throws with so much confidence that you just know when the ball leaves his hand, it's complete. You know, you don't really get that from most quarterbacks. You get that from Brady. You get that perhaps from, you know, an Aaron Rodgers. You don't even get that sometimes from Drew Brees or Russell Wilson. You know, sometimes, you know, Brees has those mental lapses where he's throwing an intercept to a DN or something like that. But only a few quarterbacks that, you know, you can see, like, okay, that's complete. Wherever he's throwing the ball, you know it's complete. And I think you get that from Haskins. I wouldn't mind, the talk about Murray going number one to the Cardinals. I get all that. But if you're moving off from Josh Rosen to take a quarterback that's better than Rosen, you probably want to take the best one. And to me, that's Dwayne Haskins.
Big guy, big arm, definitely more size than Kyler Murray. But I think most people in dynasty football, you know, that play fantasy football, I want to say most. It seems like, at least recency bias wise, mostly I've seen them with Kyler Murray ranked ahead of all the quarterbacks in this class. Do you think that's just his amazing ability to make plays? You know, any idea why folks are higher on him maybe than Haskins? Because it's clear that you know, I like Haskins better too, but it just, I don't know.
I guess from a fantasy perspective, I can get it because Murray has the ability to run and pick up yards on the ground and all for a touchdown. So I get it from that standpoint. I just find it all funny. Last year was, can Lamar Jackson make plays in the pocket? This year, Dwayne Haskins stays in the pocket too.
Right.
Like, you can't have it both ways. You know what I'm saying? So now it's funny that height doesn't matter. Even though at football game plan, we've always said size out of skill, but I guess now they understand it now. But it's just funny to see stuff like come full circle with, and you know, Twitter is cyclical. So
yeah,
they love short quarterbacks. They love guys getting outside the pocket. They hated the quarterback last year that could do that, and it's not surprising that that was the only quarterback that won a division and got the team into the playoffs. But now standing in the pocket is a knock as opposed to playing outside the pocket. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah, standing in the pocket throwing absolute darts and strikes across the field is now a bad thing at quarterback. I don't know. It is.
Look, I'm old enough. Like I said, we were talking earlier before you got on, Emery. We were talking about Randall Cunningham. So I'm, you know, from Philly. So I grew up expecting that quarterbacks should be able to be the best runner and thrower on the field. So I'm all for this running quarterback stuff.
Works in fantasy.
Well, Emery, obviously with our show, we work mostly in dynasty football and we talk dynasty trades and, you know, everybody that are listening, they're in the fantasy community. When you're talking about these players, do you do fantasy also, or are you more geared towards what the NFL is going to happen with some of these players?
That's a good question. I don't play fantasy, even though I write fantasy articles for The Athletic. Last time I played fantasy, I did win the league. I want to say Maurice Jones-Drew rookie year.
Nice.
I took Jones-Drew, and people were like, why are you taking him? And obviously, I score a lot of points with Jones-Drew scoring a lot of touchdowns. But I don't play fantasy. But I tend to scout how I would do if I were the GM. And, you know, I just let I don't worry about what the league is looking for and, you know, what goes to fantasy. I just do my thing and give out the information, and people can use the information how they see fit.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I asked you the question, because if you look at it a little differently than some of the listeners out there right now, are there any players out there that us as a dynasty community aren't even talking about, but you as a player expert like that we should maybe look at that we didn't think about? Are there any of these players out there that you think that we should be looking at?
I would say from a quarterback position, I really like Taron Christian out of South Dakota State. I think, you know, everyone's talking about Easton Stick. He's a real good quarterback. And once you talk to Easton Stick, you really root for him because he's a genuine dude. He's had a lot of success. He had to go in adverse situations and won the national championship, or got them to the game. And then Carson Wentz came back from injury, and then they won the game. But he ended up winning the national championship himself. I was at the game this year. But there was only a few quarterbacks that can say they beat him. And, you know, you can't find Iowa quarterbacks that can say that. You could find one in his conference, and that's Taron Christian, who the scouts like. He's 6'2", 225. He plays a lot like Dak Prescott to me. Mm-hmm. Has the athleticism, can extend plays, is very accurate in the intermediate to deep area of the field. He's fearless versus the rush. So I think he'll get into a camp and really surprise. And also, he was the best quarterback out there at the College Gridiron Showcase this past January. And, you know, this was in front of 140 scouts. And so I think he's a very underrated guy, deep Debbie type guy, as you guys would say. Running back, I'm a big fan of two guys that I've seen personally. Mm-hmm. One is Jamar Anderson of East Stroudsburg. I did a broadcast I was on an ESPN 3 broadcast, and it was an East Stroudsburg and I want to say Millersville. It was Millersville's game. And I was like, man, this running back who reminds me a lot of James Starks that played with the Green Bay Packers. 6'2", about 230. Well-traveled kid. I think he's had two stints at JUCO's before he got to – he was a highly touted high school recruit, went the JUCO route twice, ended up at East Stroudsburg, and became prolific. And so he's got the height, weight, speed that the league looks for. It was very productive. He's another one that's going to be a priority free agent guy to get into a camp and find a role. And Xavier Turner out of Tarleton State Division II program had to fight through his own competition. They are loaded at tailback at Tarleton State. And so he got there and really killed it the last 2 years. Another JUCO kid gets to the Division II program, a real good one, too, in the Lone Star Conference, and was able to ball out. And he was, again, a standout at the College Gridiron Showcase.
Not familiar with him. I never heard much of that player. That's interesting. That's good.
Well, and you mentioned Devy too. You know, we have Kyle Francis on here who does the Devy Watch for Dynasty Football Factory. Kyle, was there any players that you'd like to ask him about, or do you have any comments on the players that he mentioned?
No, I think that's good insight. I'm not as familiar with a couple of the smaller school players. I knew Christian through watching just some of the FCS playoffs and stuff like that, but just kind of enjoyed hearing his perspective on some lesser known guys. So those are guys I'll be checking into.
All right, Emery, the only other position we didn't mention is tight end. And we talked with Kyle earlier that a lot of people said that this was a really great tight end class. How do you feel about this class of tight end?
I wouldn't say great class. I think it's an okay class. You know, they're better at the flex spot. I break tight ends up into three positions, flex, H-back, and inline tight end. So I think flex, you can find some guys, two guys in particular, Alize Mack out of Notre Dame and Jay Sternberg out of A&M are two of my top guys. I think Noah Fant is a better player than TJ Hockenson. I don't know where the Hockenson supreme athlete thing came from, but that clearly can see that wasn't the case on tape. Fant was the better athlete and the better player. Hockenson is good, though, but, you know, Fant is just a little bit better. And Irv Smith Jr. is one that I like too. I think he's your quintessential H-back, but he can play all three. And I'm a big fan of Keenan Brown out of Texas State. I'm a Sun Belt Conference guy myself, and I love seeing these prospects just continue to glow up in the Sun Belt Conference. He was a transfer, but he really stood out on a really bad Texas State team, and that's hard to do considering how solid these defenses are, how multiple these defenses are in the Sun Belt Conference.
I just had a question, Emery. You brought up Alize Mack, and that just made me think of Miles Boykin. Should we be encouraged by his combine, or should we be more concerned with his lack of production while in college, or can we lay that at the feet of the quarterback play at Notre Dame?
I would say you should be encouraged by his tape. His tape is excellent.
Okay.
His quarterback play was inconsistent, and that's the one thing about the receiver position. I see why those guys have attitudes, man. I can't even imagine running 40-yard routes 35 to 40 times a game only for your quarterback to not see you and throw the other way.
Right.
Take off and run. I would be hot, too. At least as a running back, I know I'm getting the ball. But I don't see how the receivers do it, man.
Over at your website, footballgameplan.com, you do a lot of, is it mostly the YouTube videos that you're promoting, or is it your Twitter or the website, or what is your main focus over there?
Website is usually where we house a lot of our video content, but so if, you know, we upload on YouTube and we backlog it on the website. So sometimes we might even just write an article and post on the website. But a lot of times you'll see our video content on the website as well, in case you don't, you know, some people don't go to YouTube or don't know how to use YouTube, which is interesting to say the least in this day and age. So you kind of keep it to, you know, wherever you want to find the information, whichever is comfortable for you. We make it easier for you to find. But YouTube is where we constantly upload our video content on the daily, on the weekly, or whatever the case may be.
I feel bad that there's people that don't know how to use YouTube. I got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. They got their own YouTube channel.
You're dealing with our generation and older that's heavy on Facebook. So that's a whole dynamic in its own. So they let them master Facebook, and then 10 years from now, they'll figure out YouTube.
Well, you did mention that you cover a lot of different types of sports. Are you guys doing AAF, and are you going to do XFL next year?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing that. We also just now launched the Football Game Plan 400, which is our high school scouting.
Nice.
So you can check out footballgameplan400.com, and you'll see our top 400 prospects. We went scoured the nation, graded prospects, and you know, some I think 24/7 has 247. I think ESPN has ESPN 300. So no one is doing 400. So that's where we feel as though we have the upper hand, and we have a pretty good gauge on high school talent, man. Me and my guy Cornell Hunter, who also does grading for Football Game Plan 400. I was doing a game, and he sent me a tape. This was maybe like, I want to say maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. He sent me a huddle link. He was like, "Hey, check this guy out and call me back and let me know what you think." So obviously I called him after the doggone game, because like I can't call you in a broadcast. So I called him back, and I'm like, "Yo, this guy is outstanding." Like, he's like, "Yeah, picture he's a 2-star recruit." I was like, "How?" He's like, "Because he's like, you know, 215 pounds." But I was like, "Man, this dude's making all the tackles." The guy ended up being Deion Jones.
Oh, nice.
So we used to in 2014, so we always had our toe in it. We was like doing a lot of tests. In 2014, we used to have this podcast called the High School Recruiting Roundup, where we had high school recruits send us their huddle link and call into the show live, and we will live scout or break down their game strengths and weaknesses, where they can get better, cool. Project where they could go to school, or, you know, like type of pro, power five, F's, like that, right? So one of the kids called, and you know, we was like, "Man, you know," he was an offensive lineman. He's like, "Man, you're 235, but you're super technically sound, and if a coach was able to be patient, redshirt you, and you know, they'll put on the college with you, with your technique and added weight, you'd be a monster. We think you could be an NFL player." Fast forward to 5 years from that player is Chris Lindstrom. You know, so we've done a lot of cool stuff like that. We had an interview with Jerome Baker. Again, same situation. People were saying, "Man, is he going to move to safety, or is he going to?"
He can't play linebacker.
Exactly. And so we was like, "Nah, this kid, you know, as a high school player, was in there, he's good." And we had one guy get mad. He was allegedly the one of the top high school backs in the state of Louisiana, right? And so he was an LSU commit. And we were looking at his tape, and we was like, you know, so this kid calls in with his tape. He was a like top 5 recruit in the state of Louisiana, running back. We watch his tape, and we tell him, like, "Man, if you gain like 10 pounds, I think you'd be a dynamite fullback." And he was like, "But I ran for so many yards. And in a roundabout way, I'm trying not to tell a dude, like, you don't have, you know, Power 5 SEC type ability at the running back position. So he gets fans up. He unfollows. Lo and behold, he goes to LSU, and what the first thing he do is move his ass fullback. So we tried to prep you for it, man. But so that was the whole thought behind the high school stuff, and we're excited about that. So yeah, we will cover XFL, AAF, high school, Canadian football. We always do stuff with that as well, especially with their college prospects. I'll be up there in May. They play their all-star game before the season. So I'll be up at the East-West Bowl this year in Ottawa.
That's awesome. How big is your team over there at footballgameplan.com?
Well, I have a team of six.
So I'm guessing you guys are just kind of on the road all the time, huh?
Right.
You could say that. Road, on the phones. We've done a pretty good job with how we go about it because, you know, a lot of us are, all of us are actually former college players. Some of us are current coaches. And, you know, I'm a member of the football, the American Football Coaches Association. I used to coach way back in the day. So we stay pretty connected and we stay on the grind. And if anything, we're watching film all the time. Like some sort of film we're watching. That's what we probably do that more than we travel.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on with us today. Even right now, you know, you were able to get on with your phone and it was great to have you on the show. Is there anything you'd like to promote or anything you'd like to say before you go?
Well, I'm in the sixth round right now of my annual 32 team, 7-round mock draft, team by team mock draft. And so don't look out for those team by team videos to come out, I want to say, either this weekend or beginning of next week. So be on the lookout for that. We have a couple pro days we're hitting up as well. You can find our pro day interviews on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/footballgameplan. So we have all of that coming out. And if you want to find out how we graded our these prospects here, all 767 prospects that we were able to grade, go to footballgameplan.com/FBGP scouting and you can find all the individual positional videos.
Hey, Emery, before I let you go, since you're doing your mock, any chance you got the Eagles taking a running back in the first two rounds?
In round two, I have the Eagles taking a running back.
Cool.
All right, I don't want to spoil it because I want people to make sure they go check it out, but that makes me happy.
Man, doing this thing, you look at some teams, it's like, man, they got to trade some of these picks because they're too talented. They're too deep at everywhere. So it's like there's nowhere to put prospects. So, you know, you just look at it like, man, some of these picks are going to get traded. I could easily see them trading some of these draft picks. But it's always a fun time to do this because it really shows you how tough it is to find prospects and, okay, do I really trust this guy that we had on the roster last year on the practice squad? Do we trust his development moving forward to where we cannot pick a guy in his position? So it's always a fun exercise.
Yeah.
Well, you did make Shane very happy because that's his team and he likes to hear that. So thank you very much. And hopefully we can hear from you again sometime and we'll tell everybody go check out footballgameplan.com and also follow Emery on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. And we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Thanks a lot, Emery.
Guys, thank you guys, man. Have a good one.
Nah, you too.
Bye.
Take care. I love that he retired from fantasy football on top after winning his league championship. I feel like I need to win all my leagues like one at a time and then just leave them so I can cut the list down of, you know, why be in all those leagues? I mean, win it, quit it.
Hey, I won a lot this year. I had some double back-to-backs. Maybe I'll quit some of those. So that was pretty cool to have him on.
Yeah, he definitely brought us some sleeper names. So when you're drafting in the fourth round, third round, fifth round nowadays, rookie drafts, just make sure you hit up some of those names.
I love that you roll your eyes on fifth round. I think I'm in a league that has a sixth round in rookie drafts. It's crazy.
No, it's just, you know, in my day, Andrew Mann yells at the clouds emoji meme. there was four rounds, and now every like all the rookie drafts are starting with five. It's just
really four is too many. But Anthony Ratliff Williams is a guy I'm going to try to get. I love that player. I know you like him a lot too, Kyle. Obviously.
Why is it obviously? Obviously, Kyle. He's not frozen. No, he's looking at you.
Yeah, I think I'm less optimistic than Emery. I don't know that he's going to go in the third or fourth round. But
yeah, draft capital.
That's why I said. Why do you really say obviously?
I hope he gets drafted because I think he could be a good player.
Oh, he wrote about him. He did a nice report on him, a Debbie report. A year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
It was last summer, I think, is when I did it.
Michael, you should really check out the site sometime.
You should.
A lot of
okay, but
there.
Listen, I do check. I do check out the site. But Kyle made a face when you said, "Well, obviously Kyle's high on him," and Kyle looked like he was an
exciting player to watch. I think we'd agree on that.
Just because he wrote an article last year doesn't mean he's high on him now. Maybe a year and a half ago he was. So Shane, screw you.
Check out some highlights, man. He's exciting to watch.
How did I do?
You said
Shane didn't do anything.
Shane said, "Well, Michael, you should
sometimes." No, there's lots of content on there,
which I do. But I'm also in the moment with Kyle making a face when he's being told that he's high on somebody that he's not.
Well,
so listen,
he's high, maybe he's
just high. Then I don't know. Listen, a year and a half ago is different than today. So Kyle,
this isn't a visual show.
Well, it's a visual show for me. Well, I interpret the visual to the audio people that are listening. So. hey, didn't we have a trade that you wanted to talk about now that we wrapped it up before we get out of here? Let's talk about a trade while we have Kyle still here.
Yeah, we talked about Tyreek Hill. We got another trade, but that's for the patrons because...
Oh, well, maybe that's why I set it up that way.
Oh, wait, you know what?
Kyle.
I got a bunch of trades. Wait, here's another trade. Oh, look at this trade.
Well, wait. We were setting
There's
it...
three at the bottom here.
You know I know, what? But wait.
One for the main show, you geek.
That's what
trade
I was trying...
alert.
Okay.
I'm going to add this one to the main show.
Okay.
Okay, so this is in a league that Jeremy defeated me in the championship last year. So I'm making some moves. Me and a good buddy, Enad, who apparently I'm in every league I'm with now somehow. Like
you're in every league with everybody.
He just joined the league. He just took a dispersal and traded as soon as he got the players.
Yeah, so Enad, I think, has murdered at least 14 people and taken over their orphan team. So good for him. So basically, the trade is this: Keenan Allen for Tevin Coleman and Christopher Godwin.
Okay, so what happens here, Kyle, is he throws out a trade and he doesn't ever tell us his side. But most of the time, Jeremy and I figure it out. But which side of that trade do you like?
I like Coleman and Godwin. I think that I prefer. I generally just. My philosophy, I tend to just lean towards packages more than I do the singular player. And I'm pretty excited about Coleman landing in Shanahan's offense. I'll be curious to see what happens with McKinnon. But in terms of pass catching ability, I think Coleman's in pretty rarefied air in the NFL right now. And there's definitely a value for what the Niners do. And then Godwin, I just think, is going to continue to emerge. I think he's one of the better young wide receivers in the league. So I lean that way. It would probably depend on how I'm built. If I'm rebuilding, I'm going to go that way. If I'm a contender, maybe I go with Keenan Allen. But I think I prefer the both picks or both players rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one thing about Coleman, that dude when Shanahan had him, the routes that he had him running were incredible. They were like wide receiver routes, like legitimate. Like this isn't like oh you're just flaring out, you know what I mean, or dump offs. Like he actually used him as a weapon. So it will be interesting to see what kind of run he gets in San Francisco.
Yeah, I like his fit there for sure.
Yeah, and it's tough to get a guy that's going to play. We always talk about how by week 9, week 10, you've got the third string running backs going. But at this point, you get a running back, like Kyle said, you get a running back and a wide receiver. So on this trade, I'd go with the Coleman-Godwin side too. Which was your side, Shane? Oh, wait, Jeremy, what did you say?
You know, I think I want the Keenan Allen side, but just very slightly. I do love both the players that are on the other side of this, Godwin and Coleman. But in this case, I want that wide receiver one and Keenan Allen over the other two guys. But it's so close. Honestly, if I had either side of that, it might be one of those trades where I just keep my own stuff instead of trading for the other.
And that's part of the reason why it's on the show sheet to discuss it, because it is kind of close. So, Shane, tell everybody.
Well, yeah, I traded it for Keenan Allen, and it's actually that's the only league I own him in. Yeah, but I also traded for Julio Jones this week in that league, and I don't remember what I gave up. So I'm clearly going for a title next year.
Yeah. This newfound consensus that Shane and I have built this just this past week with this agreement on this trade, the only two guys on that side of it out of four, and then I'm setting it up for later, but we actually consummated our first ever, I think, our first ever dynasty trade.
Nobody's ever going to believe that you two guys made a trade, but we will talk about that on the Patreon show. So, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate you hanging out and hanging out with Emery, and good luck with the Devi Watch. Do you want to tell everybody about where they can get that?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate you guys having me. It's glad we got a chance to do this. If you go to dynastyfootballfactory.com, you'll be able to check out the Devi Watch. It's available right now for $15. Like we said, it covers, I believe, just shy of 300 different prospects. And again, we'll either help prepare you if you have Devi drafts upcoming, or you're just a big college football fan and just enjoy the content that way. Or if you're playing dynasty leagues and want to get a head start on the 2020 class and be able to properly value your assets right now with rookie drafts upcoming. If you want to be making trades for next year or 2021, whatever that looks like, just be better prepared. So that's something that I'd recommend everyone check out. And thanks again to you guys for having me on.
Hey, Kyle,
thanks
real
for
quick.
Joining us, buddy.
Awesome that you joined us. Yes. Definitely check out the Devi Watch. I have it, and I'm going to be using it for college football this year.
I read it cover to cover, and I don't read many things from cover to cover. I usually lose interest. Seriously, great job you guys did on that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Appreciate your help.
Where do you have Eno Benjamin ranked? I didn't dig in yet. So.
Yeah, I think overall we have him as our he's not our fourth overall player, but he's our fourth 2020 running back. Mm-hmm. I have him right around that same range myself, because it's kind of the question of there's a group of seven of us that work on rankings for that. So my rankings and the consensus don't always match up, but I actually have him around the same range. And the thing that I really like about him, I'll start with a concern that I had coming into the year and why I wasn't as bullish on him last year, was because he was hurt a lot of his freshman season at Arizona State. And he also was a little bit light. He was, I think, listed 190, 200 pounds. And for me, that's okay if you're an underclassman, but if you're starting to get into your junior year, you're just not going to be a highly valuable back. And one thing that I really liked that helped move the needle for me on him was he posted a picture on Twitter recently where he weighed in 208.8. And that's the range where we want to see a guy that's going to be eligible, a guy that he caught 30 plus balls last season, and took on almost a Christian McCaffrey like workload and role in terms of what he did. So I think that there's a lot to like about him, and he's the name that's going to be really popular this year.
Cool.
I appreciate that. Sorry that I just sprung that on you out of nowhere.
Exactly. Thank you, Sorry. Kyle. We really appreciate everything. Have a great night.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Kyle. Take care, my friend.
And then before we wrap it up, why don't we talk about some of our last minute things, like our Patreon account, our YouTube. I almost said a YouTube channel.
We don't have a YouTube channel.
I know.
My kids have a YouTube channel. Do you want me to ask them to hook us up with a YouTube channel?
No. So, all right, before we wrap it up, you want to tell everybody about our Patreon account, Shane?
Yeah, we have a Patreon account that is no longer adult content only. Woo-hoo! So if you actually search for Dynasty Trades HQ on the Patreon page, we show up. Like, we're real fucking people. So it's pretty awesome, because we're not adult content. We're just, what's the word I'm looking for? Vulgar, yeah.
As you give your wife a kiss goodnight.
Yeah, and then I spanked her on her ass and told her that Dad was going to come give it to her.
Oh my God. Okay, yes. Yeah, so go join our Patreon.
No, anyway, Patreon. Go join our Patreon page. Look, I don't want to keep pumping it up, but it's pretty fucking awesome. The people in the GroupMe chat are great. Every time we add new people to it, I feel like it gets even better. Like, just all the personalities really mesh. We're talking trades all the time, talking strategy all the time. Yeah. You know, we go over why Baker Mayfield's the quarterback one in Dynasty Football. It's just good times.
It's funny. I was out of town, like I said earlier, and that Patreon group me chat, I had to mute it because I was in the convention. And after 3 days, when I looked at my phone, though, there was a lot of...
I had to mute that a while back. Yeah. It was constantly vibrating off the desk.
But there was over 1,000 comments in the 4 days that I was away. So
passionate, man. They're passionate.
It's a great group.
That's the thing, man. That's what it's for, you know?
It's a great group.
I hate saying community, like we're like some outcasts or whatever, but whatever. It's us and our people, man.
It's a club. I mean, really, if you get down.
We love them. We love them.
It's fun shit. And then plus you get, you know, obviously you get the uncensored version of this show, which is fucking awesome. And then you get the patron account, the patron bonus episode that only the patrons get to listen to.
Right.
Which we're going to wrap this up right now and do that. So go check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ and check out our iTunes. Give us a rate and review over on iTunes at Dynasty Trades HQ. I don't know if the at is needed. And
it's just Dynasty Trades HQ.
And it's all one word. Listen, I know a few people were talking to me at the convention this year, this weekend, and they were trying to find us on iTunes. We have to mention to everybody, it's all one word, Dynasty Trades HQ. Cool. Yeah. So, all right. And thanks to all our guests tonight. And next week, Jeremy's going to be on spring break with his family. So it'll be Shane and I, and we will talk to you guys next week. Shane's eyes just went big.
I don't know what the hell we're gonna do next.
We will be fine. We'll have a fun show. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week and good night.
Adios, amigos.
We're not going to bed. We're just going to tape a patron show.
Bye.